Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazreti Talib-i Sabr Rahmetullah explains in the Mutaqaddimin, these in the pious of the old, the greatest emphasis was on tarbiyat and the right association. One is to get that refinement in one's character and ways, what we say, tarbiyat. And the second was on the right association. This was the greatest emphasis. And thereafter it was the other things in life that fell in place. The tarbiyat and the right association is so important that it is like the vessel. A vessel is clean, clear, so the contents will also be preserved. Because of the clarity, the purity, the goodness of the vessel, whatever is being put inside is being preserved accordingly. Overall, there are two things that affect a man most. Amongst the other things, there are two things that affect him. Whoever it is, no matter how backwards he may be, or how forward he may be. But there are two factors that influence any person. One is muhabbat, love. And Allah Ta'ala also recognizes this. Love. And the Nabi Sallam also recognizes it. That this is the most effective thing in a person. Love. Now to understand this, a small little example. Say for example, someone spent 6 months, 7 months in Jamaat or something. And just before he's coming back, so he phones up his wife. Can I do anything for you? Obviously, he wants her love, he wants attention. And more especially, he appreciates her after that long separation. So understand that the separation makes the hearts grow fonder. He knows also. So there must be a start now. Must start it off in some way. Can't just jump onto conclusions. So he phones up, think of you, can I do something for you? So she says, just makes a hint, you know that flower, that rose. Oh, I got it, don't worry. So you instruct the florist that this rose, with this texture, this color, must be pink, you know, and this type of fragrance, and just get it delivered. Don't worry about the price, even if it's 2,000 rand, just send it. So at that time, when she's making that type of a request, you're not going to be using your rationale. You're not going to be reasoning and becoming, you won't be using your logic and reasoning. But what you'll use your emotions and your feelings. If you were to use your rationale and thinking, then you would have told her, you know, 2,000 rands flower, and it's going to be wasted in just 2 weeks. In maximum 1 week, 2 weeks, I think it will wither, it will dry away. And the next thing you will know is in the trash already. So do you think that this is a logical thing, what you are asking for? It doesn't stand to reason. Will you reason with her in that way? At that time, you're not going to reason. Because the emotions are high. The love is intense. The fire of love is very, very intense. Anything is coming in its way, it's just burning it. So at that time, you should not just buy it, just instruct. Instruct that florist, he must just buy it, and he must just deliver it. So Nabi Sam also recognizes that this is the thing that is most effective, love. A Sahabi is at the entrance of the masjid and he asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mata Sa'a, when will Qiyamah be? So Nabi Sam asks him, what preparations have you made for that? Atattalaha, what preparations? Because you look to be very eager to that day. So when you're looking so eager, you must have made some preparation. Like a person has been working for the company, right? So they tell him, you know what? At the end, we're going to give you a big package. And a severance package, then whatever else that comes with it, will give you a big lump sum, will give you. All coming to about 10 million rand, you know? So he'll go to the secretary or someone and he'll ask, hey, when is the day coming? You know? Won't he ask that? That's logical, because you know that I'm going to get that lump sum at that day. At the termination of the work, I'm going to get this. So I'm going to get that at the termination of the work. So I'm looking forward to that day. So this person asking Nabi Sassam, he's asking Nabi Sassam because he's eager to see the reward, the recompense, the remuneration that's going to come out of all this. He's working and working. What's going to be the end of all this? What am I going to get at the end of this? So ma a'tatta laha, what preparations have you made for it? That just shows us that you want to expedite something, then you have to keep reflecting over the end. See, a person is working, so he knows at the end I'm going to get 10,000 rand. It's a one day's job, but I'm going to get 10,000. Doesn't he feel relaxed? Alright, I'm going through some turmoil, some difficulty, but at the end I can see 10,000 rands. So it's worth the while, worth the difficulty that he's going through, because of the reward that he sees at the end. Therefore, our ulama-i-kiram explain that one important aspect that has been deleted from many people's program is the reflection of the hereafter. We think everything else, but how many of us think about the hereafter? Whereas it's part of our iman. You know, when they teach us that Zarur al-Muslimin, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli wal yawmil akhir. It's part of our iman. In proportion to the reflection of this last day, will your deeds gain value. The greater the iman, the greater the reflection on the hereafter, the life after death, then the greater will be the value of your actions. Because the picture becomes very vivid. I'm bringing a 2 rakat namaz. I know I'm getting on Jannat. Doing this. So that's human nature. When you see what's the reward that you want to work, you aspire for it. When your mind is blank of the reward, then you don't have the motivation. Now, sometimes people become a little bit emotional when they talk about this type of a subject. One person came to Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahab rahmatullah alayhi and he says, you know, mujhe to jahannam ki fikr nahi, jannat ki fikr nahi, mas ishq ilahi ki talib hoon. I'm not worried about jannat, I'm not worried about jahannam, I only want the love of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, he spoke about whatever he needed to speak. And they said, Maulana, I'm going and I need about 20 rupees. So Maulana says to him, tujhe 10 rupee ka sabr nahi hua, jannat ka sabr kaisa hoga? You couldn't resist the temptation for the 10 rupees or 20 rupees. How are you going to resist the temptation of jannat? So until you don't see this, how you're supposed to be seeing it, you don't understand it. And this picture of the hereafter comes more and more clear as you reflect. Think about it. You think about it. In some quiet moments, then you see how clear it is, how clear it is. Then everything that is on the path, everything falls away. See? What has happened in this day and time is because it's a day of confusion and doubt, right? It's a time of confusion, doubt, suspicion, superstition. So this is the age that we're living in, right? Any news that you get, you can't very easily and readily verify that information. You go through a process, you're hearing one side, you're hearing another side, and you can't make up your mind. So there's so much of confusion, right? Then, at a time, you begin to have doubts in your faith. Now you don't know how to overcome this. So now, when we have a problem, what we are doing is we're looking for answers. So we've got a problem, so we look at one kitab, another kitab. You're not gonna find the solution in this matter. Then, but we need to get a solution. How do we get this solution? So mankind didn't start off from now, start from Adam alayhi salam's time. So can't we just jog our minds backwards? Okay, how did people confront this type of a situation? Where they were confronted with this doubts and confusion, whatever, suspicion, superstition, all these things here. Then how did they encounter this? Musa alayhi salam had received revelation, right? The first dua that he's making to Allah Ta'ala, Rabbish Rahli Sadri. Allah Pak, open my heart. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba, Afaman Sharah Allahu Sadrahu. Allah Pak opened his heart. Now when the heart has been opened, now the picture is very, very clear. The oneness of Allah Ta'ala, the promises of Allah Ta'ala, the warnings of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness, magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala, all that becomes very clear. Right? When that becomes clear, it's as though you're seeing it. You know, you don't need any additional explanation, you don't need it. Because you're seeing it with your own eyes. So this was the Sahaba Ikram. On account of the barakat of the association with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the heart just opened out. It opened out. So the picture became absolutely vivid, absolutely clear, graphic. You can see it. So when the hearts became so open, as a result of the hearts opening, as Ibn Abbas says, that the most elite class were the Sahaba Ikram. And the understanding of deen was so great and so clear that they only asked a few questions to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All in all, in the Quran Sharif, they had only asked about 14, 15 questions. That's all. Imagine they had taken a responsibility for the end of time. But the Quran Sharif only records 15 of the questions. What was the reason? The reason was that the path became so vivid. You're coming into Spingo Beach, right? You're coming to Spingo, for example. You know the path, is there a need to ask? But if you don't know the path, then you're asking and asking and asking again and again. So the path became so clear for the Sahaba Ikram, so that there was no need to ask so many questions. And therefore, every Sahabi became an embodiment of Hidayat. بِأَيِّهِمُ تَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. You follow them and you're guided. It's a star. You go that direction, you must be guided. You can't go astray. So he was an embodiment. But what made him that embodiment was the clarity of the heart. The heart opened out. Right. Now the question is, what do we put in place to get the clarity of the heart? The heart must come absolutely clean, absolutely clear. So for that we need to put our minds backwards. For them, the picture became so clear. They didn't need to ask so many questions. The road became clear. So even if, as though if Jannat and Jahannam were to be before them, then it won't really alter them. The picture became so clear. But the question is this, that then how do we get that level of clarity? So the two things that impress a person's heart, one is love. I just spoke about it. One is love. When you're in love, then it makes you do everything and anything. You don't use your rationale. You don't use your reasoning. Then you're just going to do it. It's a question of do and die, not who and why. Then you become so impassioned about it, you just want to do it. And that is why you request Allah Ta'ala, when you request Him, when you're making dua, then you request Him for love. Shawqan ila liqai, eagerness to meet you, Allah Ta'ala. Give me that eagerness, that I'm eager to meet you. But min ghayri dharra'a mudhirra, without any harm. Must be eager to meet Allah Ta'ala. Impassionate about it, I can't resist the temptation to meet Allah Ta'ala. But then the world is designed such, okay, you come to the bridge and then you can cross. You can't just cross like that. Now, that if that eagerness is too much, what's going to happen? You're on overdrive, now what's going to happen? You're going to hurt yourself, aren't you? And you can't sleep, you can't eat, because you just want to go there, you just want to be there, you just want to be there. That fire is too strong. When that fire is too strong, then you can't contain it. You can't sustain that. So then you ask Allah Ta'ala, that I need that yearning to meet you, but without me getting hurt in any way. Now imagine, you know, you are yearning to win that race. And when you yearning to win the race, and that yearning is out of control, what's going to happen? You're going to make an accident, aren't you? You're going to hurt yourself. So, this is the comprehensive nature of the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why this Hizbul Azam or Munajat-e-Maqbool, Hisn-e-Haseen, these are all the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the du'a itself is a miracle. Like the Qur'an Sharif is a miracle. If someone has to reflect over the wording of the du'a, you'll find that's a miracle. A man couldn't have done it. He couldn't have produced it. Do you see these words? Shawqan ila liqaik min ghayri dharra'a mudirra. I must get that yearning to meet you, Allah Ta'ala. But I understand that everything happens in time in this world. I'll come to my end, and I'll come to my end in time. I can't overtake that time. So I have to pass the time. When I have to pass that sentence in this world, let it be easy also. Min ghayri dharra'a mudirra, let it be easy. I don't encounter any problems. But when I'm coming right to the finish line, when I'm coming right to the finish, you know, it's 1-2 days, 10 days left now. Then I'm going out of control. Then I'm jumping, move. You know, it's a lark's leg in the marathon. In the whole marathon, the racer has to maintain a balance. He can't go on overdrive. Because if he goes on overdrive, he will waste all his energy, then he can't continue with the race. So for the whole race, you have to maintain a balance. But he comes to the finishing line, that last 3-4 Ks, then all the hell in him, you have to just explode all the hell, all that energy, and move it after that. But he said, thou make it or break it. Only say that, at that time. He said, I got the last now, that all that energy I've got, everything, every inch of energy I got, let me burn that thing, this is it, you know. And I can see what's beyond this. So, you're asking Allah Ta'ala as well, you know, until that point, everything must be manageable. But when I come to that finishing point, oh Allah Ta'ala, then let that fire just burst out of me. And I'm going, and I'm going. I'm just crying, I'm yearning to meet you. Yearning to meet you. So this is muhabbat, this is love. Muhabbat khud tujhe adab muhabbat sikha degi. That muhabbat will teach you the etiquette of muhabbat. You don't need to be instructed in muhabbat. When you got married, right, then were you instructed, right, this is the first move you'll make and she'll respond like this, etc. Or it was a natural thing. Muhabbat khud tujhe adab muhabbat sikha degi. Maktabe ishq andaz nirala dekha. Maktabe ishq andaz nirala dekha. Usko chutti na mili jisne sabak yaad kar li. You know, in a madrasa, in a school, university, you know your sabak, you know your work, go, move on. Graduated, gone. Graduated, you qualified, and you gone. But in the college of love, in the college of love, the whole style is different. The more you know your sabak, the more they detain you. The more you know your sabak, the more they detain you. So the whole college, the whole concept is different. Usko chutti na mili, jisne sabak yaad kar liya. You see these words of wisdom really. is coming from is Buzurganuddin. You know, when you compare their words to Einstein and Churchill, it's like child's play. Their words are all child's play. The real word is these people's words. And this world is just, sometimes it's just a trick of the mind, it's treachery, it's deception. And sometimes they are quoting this Auliya Kiram, but you don't know it. So the real philosophy of life is understood by these people here. What these people know. Sometimes when people talk too much of them, I say, bhai, don't overdo it now. These people are suraj eaters, concentrated suraj they're eating. Swine they're eating. So, akal ka kya andaz hoga? What would be the state of the brains? They're eating all that, the brains is all filled up with that mess. The back is plastered with that dirt. So what brains they have? The brains are these Auliya Kiram, Buzurganuddin. Really, there's a philosophy of life that'll teach you. These people were nothing, it's hollow. But it's just that you don't do a comparative study. You begin to see things in perspective when you do a comparative study. Otherwise, you're looking at it from just one perspective and you're going with the trial. Not, you're not looking at it from the other side. So what he says is that usko chutti na mili jisne sabak yaad kar liya. When you learnt it, there's no chutti for you. Then you're just elevating, you're moving on and on and on. You want it to continue. Then you don't want it to come to an end. Because you're escalating the stages of love. The world of love, you're escalating. And at every level, it's a greater enjoyment. At every level, it's a high excitement. And the excitement is so much, you know. Sometimes, that only I come, just want to live on. Because that love is also escalating like that. It is escalating. So the love has got its own style. It's got its own law. Layla was distributing Haleem, you know. You know, Ramzan time they distribute Haleem. So this story is true, really. This Layla Majnu story is not Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet maybe like they just fake it up. So the true story, mind you, they didn't actively do any haram. Like, you know, a kissing or something, no haram. And in fact, if you look at the whole story, there was not even any fantasizing. But it was just some thoughts. And he was reminiscing over her. And she was the same, right? There was no active haram in that. But they quote the story. Why they quote the story? Not that you must go and experiment love. Because tumhara to ishq nahi hoga, tumhara to fisk hoga. What? When you're going to get entangled in this, it's not going to be ishq. Ishq is infatuation. You're going to get involved in fisk, in transgression. You look at love from a different perspective. They look at it from a different perspective. Someone tells Majnun, you know, hey Majnun, what are you doing? I see you writing on the ground. First time you're seeing someone writing like this, you know. Normally you write on a paper. So he says, no, I'm writing to my Layla. I'm writing to my Layla. Say, bhai, you know when you want to write, you write on a pad. And the pad is posted. So he says, you see, a letter is, you write a letter to comfort your mind. To express your feelings. That's, and now for me, there's no way to convey this message to her. But I need to convey the message. Somehow. So I can't get anybody to convey the message. I'm just writing it on the ground. The memories of my mahbub, of my beloved, I'm just refreshing it all the time. See, zikr. He's teaching us what is zikr. And you can't get to meet Allah Ta'ala as long as you are in the parameters of this life. You're not going to meet Allah Ta'ala. There's going to be a time when you're going to meet Him. Lan tarani. Musa Islam was told, you're not going to meet. Here you can't. Beyond the parameters of this world, then you'll meet. Like Nabi Samet met on the occasion of Mi'raj. So that was beyond the parameters of this world. Within the parameters of this world, you're going to see. So this Layla is distributing Haleem, you know. So there's a whole queuing up. And she's, in person, she is distributing that Haleem. Everybody's taking. Olden days, we had pots, clay pots and all that. You got your, everybody got their pots and they're coming in. So she's serving them, and as Majnun comes in, so she takes the pot and she breaks it. And this Majnun now, he showed his true colors. He began to dance, excited. Waqiyatan tum to Majnun ho. You're a madman. Majnun is a madman. You know, you would have been really upset about the whole thing, and you are dancing about the whole thing. What's wrong with you? So you people don't understand. Our relationship is not a Halim relationship. Your relationship is just Halim. Our relationship goes far beyond that. So what is impressing upon us, that our relationship with Allah Ta'ala mustn't be only, hey, I must sell so much of furniture, and I must sell so much of stoves, and I must sell so much of commodities, and I must sell so much of pies. That is not the relationship. Unfortunately, that has become the relationship. Allah Ta'ala, you see me right, I'll see you right. You see me right, I'll see you right. That's a business relationship. It's not an Allah relationship. I don't say we don't need it. We are at that level that we need that. Hum to bandai ihsan. Understand? We're doing all what we are doing is because of the favors of Allah Ta'ala. The moment He pulls away the favors, that little that you're doing all will go. So that ishq and everything that you're talking about is just on account of the favors. You're enjoying everything, three meals, sleeping well, going out a little well, so you got that ishq. But let you get constipated for 5 days. See what happens to the ishq. So that ishq, everything that is in you is because of His favor. So what Majnun is saying to you and is conveying to us is, by let that love escalate now. Until when? Until when? You're going to be an Abd Ihsan. Only because of Allah Ta'ala's grace, only because of His kindness you're showing love. You didn't see Allah Ta'ala yet. You didn't understand Allah Ta'ala yet. In this life, Allah Ta'ala has created everything in pairs, right? Min kulli shayin khalaqna zawjain. Everything Allah Ta'ala has created in pairs. And because He's created the whole system in pairs, therefore there is appreciation. Right? If there's a day, there's a night. So you appreciate the night as you appreciate the day, right? If there is warmth, there is cold. So you appreciate it. Don't you appreciate it? If there is rain, there is drought. Don't you appreciate? If there was no such a thing like drought, would you have appreciated rain? If there was no such a thing like day, would you have appreciated the night? You wouldn't have appreciated. So because Allah has created everything in pairs, do you appreciate life? So if there is sickness, there is health. Then equally, if there is a thing like Jannat, then there is a thing like Jahannam. So because of this system of creation, then there is beauty and appreciation. And to the last thing that you can think about, there is this despairing. You consume food, right? Don't you consume food? Then if there is the good food that is converting into energy, then there is the bad that is being thrown out. And how important it is for the bad to be thrown out. If that bad is not thrown out, it's stuck up inside your system, then how cumbersome don't you feel? How uneasy don't you feel? See, 1 month now, you didn't go. What happens? You go to a specialist, go to a doctor, 100 places you're running around. So in this whole system, there is beauty. But just that we haven't discovered the beauty. Right? We come to conclusions, whereas we haven't discovered the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. He's still in baby class. And we haven't discovered His beauty. So you see the beauty of Allah Ta'ala's plan and system. If there is wealth, there is poverty. Otherwise, you would have appreciated that wealth. So Allah Ta'ala wants you to appreciate things. According to their levels, etc., you appreciate things. And when there's going to be things created in pairs and opposites, then only are you going to appreciate. Otherwise, you're not going to appreciate. Don't you see a person coming out from the toilet? And then he says, Ghufranak. Allah Ta'ala, I ask your forgiveness. Right? It's also that when you're asking for forgiveness, it's a reflection. See, unfortunately, this reflection we have forgotten. And it is this reflection that brightens the iman. The nur of iman comes with reflection. But the reflection must be true reflection. So when you come out of the toilet, then you're saying, Ghufranak. Now that's, to understand and appreciate this, then you need to reflect. Why are you asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness? It's a matter of reflection. It's a matter of love. See, when you got that love, then automatically those answers will come. Then you think to Allah Ta'ala, you know, what gifts of yours I didn't eat, you know. The strawberry was so beautiful, the cherry was so nice, the fresh cream was so nice, you know, the pudding was... Now what a mess of your favors have I done. So it's not that you committed a sin, but in the language of love, in the language of love, you feel, no, hey, what a mess up I have done. Don't you feel like that? When you compare the gift of Allah Ta'ala, the gift of the beloved, and when you compare it against what your system has done to it, don't you feel that I've really wasted, I've messed it up? Don't you feel like that? Like it is a guest that came to your home, right? And you served him with something. Perhaps the floor must have been uneven or something, and he missed his step and he fell. So don't you say, I'm sorry for this, you know, you fell like this. But was it of your mistake? It was not your mistake. He miscalculated and he fell. But because of the intensity of the love, you come to the fore and tell the person, make maaf, sorry for this thing here, I'll try and fix the thing up. Don't you say that? Now that's love. So again, when you say ghufranak, it's love, it's language of love. Kaash ke Allah Ta'ala apni mohabbat ka zarra ata farmaye. When I say a minuscule atom, you can't enjoy anything more than that. That also, if you get it one shot, your heart will burst. Your heart will physically, literally it will burst. It's so great, it's so great, it's so magnificent. You're asking who? You're asking Allah Ta'ala. And you're asking for His love. Then you say, Ghufranak, then you say, Alhamdulillah. When you just come out, don't you feel and feeling of ease, whether it was urine or whether it was filth, right? But don't you feel that relief? But if you look at it effectively, it was waste that came out. It was the opposite. There was purity and now there's waste. The opposite came out. And when the opposite came out, don't you feel a feeling of relief? Don't you feel nice now? It's a sensation. You feel nice. You feel happy about yourself. Alhamdulillah, everything has gone out. So Alhamdulillah. See, so this plan of Allah Ta'ala, this system of Allah Ta'ala has been created with pairs, in pairs and in opposites. So you understand the sensation of love if there is a thing like enmity. If there was no enmity, would you have understood love? You wouldn't have understood love. So there had to be one shaitan for an Adam. If there was no shaitan, you couldn't have appreciated Adam. So Adam is coming into this universe, right? Like that was a blessing, then to understand the blessing, you have to have a person like shaitan. Understand? You don't want to be taking his role, I'm sure. But you have to have a person like shaitan to appreciate Adam alayhi salam. Otherwise, would you have appreciated Adam alayhi salam? You wouldn't have appreciated him. So Allah has created this world and created it like this opposites. And this administration of the world will carry on and will continue as long as there is this type of things in pairs. If you find vice, then you'll find virtue. And in the system, if you look at the grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, there is some great wisdom in that. For virtue against vice. Now, you can't understand it. But if you can't understand it, if you can't comprehend it, does it mean that there is no virtue in it? There is the virtue, but my mind can't comprehend. It fails. When we speak about our iman, like we speak about akhirat, then we speak about taqdeer as well. Don't we speak about taqdeer? وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Don't we say that? The taqdeer, the good and the bad comes from Allah Ta'ala. Now you think of the design of Allah Ta'ala and bad now. How does it feature? How does it feature that you say there's good in it? So there's two stories that I give to you, explain to you, and you'll understand the virtue of taqdeer, right? They say there's a king and he's wazir, you see. So the wazir, whatever happens, he says, khubwa, bahut acha hua. Whatever happens, he says, mashallah, mashallah. Now, that's the style of the wazir. Anything happens, mashallah. Anything happens, mashallah. So the king slipped and he hurt his finger, bleeding, and hurt his finger badly. Fractured and all that. So the wazir, according to his style, said, mashallah. Obviously the king was upset now. Pushed him into jail. Hey, I got hurt here. Mera to saza hua, aur tera to maza aya. I'm suffering here and you rejoicing. What's wrong with you? Put him through into jail. Threw him into jail, he said, mashallah again. Now these kings, and you know, you talk of those people in the past now. They have a lot of free time, so they're going hunting and all that. See, this hunting and all these things, sports and all that, is a topic on its own. But when it comes to a level of a culture, then it's dangerous. Like how, you know, you're getting this cycling and all that, motor car racing, cycling and all that. One is you're doing it informally, or in your backyard you're doing it. Nobody knows about it. It's a different thing. But when it becomes a culture, then it's dangerous. Now you may ask, now how does it become dangerous when it becomes a culture? See, when it becomes like a culture, then you want to race. Right? Then you've got a circle of friends. Then you're going to entertain them, they're going to entertain you, right? Then you're going to compromise for them, they're going to compromise for you, right? Namaz time, whatever else, whatever, something they're doing, you're doing. So you have to make compromises, both ends, to restore the relationship. And who you're compromising with? Allah Ta'ala. Then they having an event in Cape Town, you're flying over with your bicycle. Right? Just to participate in the race. Then you, every now and then you can upgrade that cycle. 100,000, 200,000, you can just upgrade that cycle. Talking of real prices, right? Now, when you're getting into this rut here, when you're getting into this culture, now imagine how many avenues you are depriving yourself of. Now, meeting your relatives, your friends, understanding proper deen, understanding the whole nature and the essence of deen, now that becomes a secondary thing. Because the topmost thing in your mind is, I must get to that race, that 20 cases that I'm doing every day, I must do it. That becomes not just a habit, it becomes an addiction. Now someone was showing one report last week sometimes, that she can't do that, you know, that woman, the day she can't do it, because of weather, etc., raining, etc., right? Now she actually grazed the wall. She can't resist. Temptation she can't resist. Now when that becomes at a level of addiction, now who's going to take care of her children? She won't want children in the first place. And if she gets children, is she going to make the proper tarbiyat of the children? Is she going to take care of the children? If she got aged parents, is she going to be worried about the parents? Not going to be worried about anything. Main thing is I got this tarteeb of mine, this routine of mine, I must do it. So sometimes we don't think. Qillat al-fikr. This, you know, I was talking about reflection. We don't think. I'm going to get myself into this. Then what's the end going to be? I've got children, I've got a wife, I've got parents, right? I need to see that they go on track, right? So if I'm not going to do it, they will look straight away. Someone has to be there around for them. If you want your business to run properly, you have to be around. If you say, no, Allah tawakkul, that business doesn't run. Does it run like that? It doesn't run. You ensure that you are there, giving that quality time to your business for that thing to flourish. For that matter, any profession, you give that quality time, Allah Ta'ala allows it to flourish. Then in the cycling group, then there may be a girl, young girl that is also joining up. Now your interest is changing again. But you see how this thing, how it mesmerizes you. So in the olden days, this was the ways of the monarchs and kings, etc. Sports and whatever else, waste of time. So when you get into this, then the real objectives, the greater objectives, then you become oblivious of that, you forget about that. You get into these side shows. Your children are neglected, your wife is neglected, and then you get into a different mindset. Because your mind becomes now more circular. When it becomes more circular, then you begin to think and reason like that. You begin to think of business. Everything that counts in your sight is just money. So you must make money and your wife must make money as well. Money, nothing else, but you only know what you know, the language that you know is money. She must make money and you must make money. Now to make that money, every compromise has to be made. One white person was saying, this is the life that they run, see, because they absorbed in the circular type of mentality. So he was saying, that, you know, our life within our homes is like Jahannam. The white person is saying. So I asked why. He says, now she can be moving to London, right, and she won't even tell me that I'm in London. She won't tell me. And I don't have a right to question her private life. I don't have a right. She can be there after a week, she can phone up, darling, you know, I'm in London. Everything's alright. Just help yourself, take care. Bless. Zakallah. Would you appreciate that if your wife tells you, I'm in London, I flew over, you must just take care of yourself. Do you appreciate that? You don't appreciate that. You know, we won't appreciate. See, Allah created this pairs. So when you see their life, then you appreciate what you are going through. But you don't see their life, then you feel, no, say, alu gosht ki tarkari. You know, 100 years, they keep, same thing they're giving us. But the alu gosht, you'll only appreciate it when you compare your life against other people. But you don't compare yourself against them, then you feel you got nothing. She would subject herself, she's making a move, she's phoning you, I'm going, must I go, mustn't I go, what do you think about this, this walima invitation or whatever. But she will at least have the decency of asking you, she'll respect you. See? So anyway, we were talking about this king, and he threw his wazir into the prison. Now he's thrown into the prison, and he's saying, mashallah, wah wah, bahut khub hua. So the king is thinking, zara uska dimag kuch phir gaya hai. Something is not right with the mind. Anyway, king is going out for a hunting trip. Like I say, these people were like that. That was their life. Hunting, aimless life. La'ib wala, pastime. That becomes the objective of life. You know, when you look at a Westerner, you know, at least 1/3 of his life and energy is just on entertainment. Oh yeah, run here, run there. Let the swallows do that. Let the salmon fish do all that, running around here, you know. You be concentrated in your work. Running here, running there. Eventually the airport becomes your home. The airplane becomes your life. There's no life, there's no quality in that. So anyway, he's in a hunting trip, and they come across a group of cannibals. But the king is strayed away from his rest of the entourage, and the cannibals. So it's coinciding with one of their festivals, and they want to offer a human as a sacrifice. Say, we got someone now, let's offer it. But now when they have to offer it, they have to see now. You know, when you see an animal, the tail must be right, eyes must be right, everything must be right. Then you can offer it. Now they're inspecting, hey, the finger is fractured here, hand is not right here. Can't offer it. Hey, lucky, move away now. Now he comes back, and he opens that wazir. You know that mashallah of yours really worked, you know. When you said, when I tripped and I fell, and I broke my hand, I fractured everything, that mashallah, I understood the priest, I understood the value of that. But I can't understand one thing still. When you were thrown into prison, then why did you say mashallah? It's such a simple thing, you can't even understand that. He says, you see, I'm alright, 100%. If I was with you, I would have been a genuine victim. So in the system of Allah Ta'ala, there is some good. But just that we don't understand the system. Now because we don't understand the system, therefore we say it's void of wisdom, na'uzubillah. So I said, even in the creation of evil, there is some wisdom. You see, there's a thing like theft, right? So Allah Ta'ala allows it to happen. He makes it happen. Lets it happen. Had Allah Ta'ala willed, couldn't he stop it in the tracks? He could have stopped it. But why did he allow it to happen? So one is the allowing of the evil, right? And one is to commit the evil. To allow it, that is divine, that is the plan of Allah Ta'ala, allowing it. And in the plan of Allah Ta'ala, there is countless of wisdom. There is wisdom beyond our imagination. Now, in the planning of this evil, this vice of theft, you know, South Africa itself employs approximately 3 million people in the security. Do you know that? 3 million people in security, only for security reasons. Right. That 3 million people, at least one person will be representing three people. His wife and his two children, at least. Otherwise there would be more. So at least now 10 million people, that means 1/6 of the South African population, is just getting the rosy because of the fear of theft. Just the fear of theft. You see the planning of Allah Ta'ala. Sunallahi alladhi atqana kulla shay. Just that fear of theft, and 10 million people are getting the rosy. So it's just one department, that is security, right? Then you get so many other patrols. You get a patrol, you get CCTV, you get burglar guards, you get locksmiths, right? You get a police, and you get a security over the police station, right? So many people are getting the rosy only because of the fear of theft. Now, in the event of this plan of theft not being there, then you could, can you imagine this 10 million people, how could they have got their rosy? How could they have got their rosy? So in his plan, in his design, there is wisdom. Though you cannot perceive the wisdom. It doesn't mean that you can't perceive it, there is no wisdom. There is the wisdom, but you can't perceive the thing. So it's just one thing I'm showing you, and at a very, very elementary level I'm showing you. Otherwise, Buzugaradin and Awliya Kiram, the amount of understanding they have got is far, far beyond. I'm just showing you, just scratching the surface, for us to understand that there is wisdom in all this. وَمِنْ كُلِّ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. In everything is what a sign. To show his unity, to show his oneness. فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. So you will see him. In anything that you're doing, you will see him. But just reflect, take out the time and think about it. See, our past time is, alright, see this one here now, on phone, message, WhatsApp, SMS, it's all filled. Even though it's true, if some of the information is right, but when you analyze it, does it increase your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, your understanding, the improvement of your reasoning, understanding, seeing things in true perspective, does it increase it in any way? It doesn't increase it. A little bit more information came in, and then the second thing that happens, you feel you're so much more important. See, so many people are consulting with me. I'm at so many sites, you know. I'm so much more important. That's what happens. But then you analyze it. Do you, as a person, do you benefit in it? So what we are saying today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the thing that affects you very, very greatly, one is love. And I explained that Sahabi is at the entrance of the masjid. He's at the entrance of the masjid, and he's asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when is Qiyamah? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking him, what preparations have you made? So, he doesn't know what to say, because it's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you can't speak a word of a lie. When your relationship is true and honest, right? Then you can't speak a word of lie. Yeah, if it's a false relationship, obviously, then you'll make up a lot of lies. But if it's a true relationship with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you have to say it as it is. So he says, a little bit embarrassed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yeah, Nabi Allah, I haven't done too much. You know, all my faraz, my sunnah I'm doing, I haven't done too much. Right. But yes, غَيْرَ أَنِّي أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. I got no doubt that I do have the love for Allah Ta'ala, and I have the love for His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In that respect, I am absolutely clear about. Other things, yeah, I may be a little bit deficient here. I may not have got my tahajjud so well, you know. Or I may not have got my other ibadat so well, the nafal ibadat, not the faraz obviously. The nafal things maybe are not so well. Like how some buzugaradin every day they're making a khatam and all that. Maybe I'm not like that. Maybe once in a week I'm making a khatam. Or something like that. But I'm not at that higher class, at that higher level. I'm doing my sunnahs, I'm doing my faraz. Not at the higher class, but yes, in this respect, I've got that love for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I'm doing my sunnahs, I'm committed. At night I'm thinking of Allah and His Rabbi Sallallahu. The day I'm thinking of Allah Ta'ala is Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw that the man was true. In the way he conducted himself, he's true, embarrassed about himself. But he knows that he's got his allegiance, and where he's got his allegiance. So Nabi Sallam tells him, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Don't worry. Man will be with those that he loves. So on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be grouped accordingly. Here you're grouped, you align yourself with us. So you'll be counted here amongst us, and there also you'll be counted, you'll be aligned with us. So this is one thing that influences a person, is love, muhabbat. That muhabbat doesn't end there. It keeps on moving, it just progresses. Because that muhabbat wants expression all the time. It doesn't stop at any end, any point. If it's true muhabbat, it's true love, it wants expression again and again. It wants to continue. Do you hear of muhabbat just ending at any point? You don't hear of muhabbat if it's real muhabbat. Because at every level, you're discovering a different world of muhabbat. One level of muhabbat. Another world of muhabbat. Now this is when there is true love, love with Allah Ta'ala. With people, the love just ends up, right? Because you saw the beauty more or less of fish, expired, isn't it? You saw every, from all sides, everything, contours, everything you've seen, you discovered it's khalas, right? But by Allah Ta'ala, because He's infinite, the level of muhabbat is also infinite. Getting at one level, then you're escalating another level. Imagine if the beauties of Jannah will be such, you know, every bite a different taste. Every bite and a different taste. You're eating an apple, one bite different taste. Another one is different taste. Har aan ko ek maza aa raha hai. Every moment it's a different, it's a unique experience. It's a unique experience. So do you understand the love of Allah Ta'ala? You're entering into Jannah and they're guiding you to your abode, right? And it's your first encounter with your hur, with your wife, right? Right? And just to overcome the pleasure, the excitement, it takes you 500 years. You can't, you're startled, just looking. You can't just overcome that. In the meanwhile, but your wives need to become jealous over that. Eh? Because the wives will be the queens over the hoors. And the reason that the wives will be the queens over the hoors is because they went through difficulty. They went through pain. They took all your nonsense. Isn't it a fact? All your nonsense, the day and night, whatever trouble that you gave her, she took all that, she endured all that. So as a recompense, she'll be like the queen. And they'll be like all the workers, you know, small, little. So she will still feel her importance, her significance. She will not feel that she is being neglected, like how it happens, you know, someone else you got now, so I'm going to get neglected. Feel insecure. You'll still be the queen. So this aspect of muhabbat, and we need to cultivate this love. So when you cultivate that love, and you want to imitate the beloved in everything you want to be loved, you want to imitate him. Because like I say, it's a different horizon of love, different horizon of enjoyment. So, like in goodness, in good works, you want to imitate, and if Khuda na khasta, Allah Ta'ala protect us all, if we kick up the wrong type of relationship, the wrong type of beloved, then you want to imitate him as well. Don't you hear of youngsters now, they're in love with someone, with Satanism now, for example, Allah forbid, right? Now they're spiking their hair. Now really, they're looking like clowns. Put that gel and the hair is all going upside, I don't know which side is going, right? And they don't even look nice, you know. One is you got a style, alright, it's looking a little bit good, you know. You know, when we were youngsters now, I remember now that there was a style. You comb your hair now and you leave it a little bit long here, every now and then you do this. Put the hair. So that was, it looks smart a little bit, you know, it looks smart a little bit. Now the style is not looking nice also. Really, it's looking so ugly. Really, they're making the face like a shaitan. So it may be coming from Satanism, this thing. Someone's hair is like this, someone's clothing is looking so terrible. There's no respect in it, no attraction in it. So you're taking a liking for something, then you want to imitate that person, no matter how ugly you look, no matter how dirty you look, but because that person is doing it, you must do it. You're not employing your reasoning, understanding, nothing into it. But because that person is doing it, so you're doing it. So you're keeping an album of that person's photos, right? His autography, his signatures, the car that he drives. If he's smoking Lexington, then you are smoking Lexington as well, right? All stupid, real stupid things. No, there's no rationale in this. I can say love got no rationale. Just want to imitate. My one friend was explaining that one Arab or so it was, perhaps, unfortunately. So they are mad into soccer and all that, right? Mad. And they go for everything. Liverpool and this and whatever. And they can buy one person for 50 million pounds, 100 million pounds, they can buy one person. Bichara, when they go into this rut, into wealth, and this is what it makes them do. Their minds are distorted afterwards. They can't think and they can't reason correctly where they're supposed to be putting that wealth. Other side, people are starving this idea, and this is what they're doing on this idea. Whether it's Arab or non-Arab, doesn't mean, I'm talking about Arabs, so only Arab, we are doing the same thing. But we're doing it proportionately to our wealth, they're doing it proportionately to their wealth. So all are identical in the guna. It doesn't mean they're doing it, so they're worse off. They are doing it, we are doing it. We're doing it in our proportion, they're doing it accordingly. Now he's into this. Now you gotta, his whole lounge, only photos of the person. His motor car, his house, his this, whatever. Everything about this person. Alan Shears. Anyway, one day they are watching some football match or something over the television. He's sitting with his wife. And he says to his wife, you know, I feel very numb. Can't you call the paramedic? See, you're taking it, you're overreacting. What's wrong with you? So no, you call the paramedic. So she called the paramedic. So he turned back towards his house and he says, you know, take care of the children. Maybe we don't see again. But you don't overreact like this. Anyway, he said, all right, I'm going. And there, when he was hospitalized, they said that the cancer reached his brain and is irreversible. It's 2 din ka mehman hai. 48 hours, 72 hours, maybe it's a luck that he lives. So he's finished, can hardly move, can hardly talk, anything. He's in that state, irreversible. You see, he gave everything for that. Football, sports, lahu laib, sports and entertainment. Like it's become our life, sports and entertainment has become our life, unfortunately. It's just that entertainment, excitement. So the thing that you have given your heart to, then you will live like that, you will die like that. You will live with that class of people, you will die with that class of people. So he's given his life for that. Now he's dying with that same class of people. Now he's there, and towards the end now, the doctors, everybody has lost hope. They're looking at the temperatures, his pulse, everything is falling. So that last moment, he has a little bit of a sparkle on his face. And he says, Alan Shears, I love you, my God. And that's the last word, and he dies. Finish. So he lived for that person, and he died for that person, made him his God. That's the last word coming out from his mouth, you see. But you see this love, what it makes you do. You know, it's really, love is mad. When they say love is mad, really, literally it is mad. Because you don't know what you're doing. On the one end, you have a personality like Bilal. Everything is invested in Nabi Sassam. Everything, his life, his respect, his wealth, everything is invested in Nabi Sassam. His love, his night, his morning, everything is for Nabi Sassam. So when he's approaching his end, then he's approaching his end at the same manner. Now his wife is sobbing, hey, you're going to be going just now. Say, no, just now you're going to meet up with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're going to meet up with our real friends. Nalqa al-ahibba. We'll meet our real friends. You see, he's also coming to an end. But where he invested his love, he's meeting them. Where this person invested his love, he's meeting up with them. So the question is love, where are you going to invest it? Where are you going to give in your love? I don't say that you can reach this overnight, right? But there must be a plan. There must be a way. Gradually we come on that end. And eventually when we come to the finishing line, then we got no regrets. We know every coming day is bringing us closer to the finishing line, right? You know, that marathon from Maritzburg to Durban, coming closer and you're coming closer. If you're 40, then halfway by Camperdown now. Right? If you understand, you're already there now. By Cato Ridge. Now the half of the distance has ended. When half the distance has ended, then you have to become more concerned. Hey, half is finished now. 50, then you are even closer. You pass that now. You're past that now, you're coming even closer. So, before we come to that finishing line, we're in the state of preparation. And you're asking Allah Ta'ala, now I want to meet you, Allah Ta'ala, I long to meet you. I really long to meet you. But there was one chacha, which not very educated, but sincere from the time I knew him. Very dedicated on his namaz. Simple, straightforward. Eventually, when he came to the end, then he should sit on the chair and perform namaz on the, my right. So I told him one day, just to keep his spirits up. You know, old people like to keep their spirits up. Said, chacha, you'll come right. Don't worry, man. You're looking so smart. Just to give him a little bit of a boost up. So his words were, I was shocked when I heard this word. I thought he was a simple, ordinary person. He said, no, now I'm enough of this world. I want to meet Allah Ta'ala. Not that he was poor, he was well-to-do, alhamdulillah. But the words that came out from his tongue, I really liked it. Now I want to meet Allah Ta'ala. I'm enough of this world now. Enough here. I want to meet my Allah Ta'ala. You see, the simple people, dedicated, committed, as you're reaching, you're coming at the end, then your yearning to meet Allah Ta'ala is increasing, is growing, and you become totally disinterested. So this disinterest now, as you're progressing, 30 now is decreasing, 40 decreasing again. All these are all signs that now you're progressing in the journey. When you're progressing in the journey, then don't you think now that you're still young, you're playing young. But you're playing young now, does it make you young? If you're playing young, does it really make you young? It doesn't make you young, you're still the same age. You're 50, you're still 50. You're 60, you're still 60. By playing young and putting up an act, it's not going to make you any younger. Now accept the reality that you're coming, you've passed, you've covered so many miles of the journey, and so many miles are left. Right? So am I prepared for this end? And then the other reality for this age and time is, now people are going at any time. You don't hear 30 years, 25 years, person is fit as a fiddle, and he's going to the gym and all that, and by the morning he's finished. And someone is paralyzed, someone is finished, someone got a stroke. Don't you hear about these stories? All the time this type of stories. So when these things are becoming so much more clear, then what he's telling us by prepare for that end. Prepare for that end. And when you're coming to that end, then Allah Pak is longing to meet you, and you longing to meet Allah Ta'ala. What a pleasant sight. Imagine Allah Pak, your creator is longing to meet you, and you longing to meet Allah Ta'ala. So the greatest thing that you can think about, the greatest thing of this whole talk, is there is no need for you to reminisce and keep talking about the past. Past is past, finished. Right? And it's also foolish to plan for the future. I'll do this one day, I will do this one day, I'll do this. No. Don't plan for the future. Yes, for the present moment, see what you can do for the present moment. Present, what can I do? I'm driving now, from here to Overport, I'm driving, right? What can I do in this moment, this few moments that I've got, what can I do? I can end up in an accident. On Thursday, someone was telling me, he was passing, I don't know which hospital, Parkland or whichever hospital was passing, and he saw someone just moving off the road. And the next moment, the man had a heart attack and he passed away. Doctor, and he just passed away there. So you see how suddenly it can come. When it can come, it's happening, you see in front of your sight, what's the lesson? Let me be in preparation. I'm driving, order, let me do something that will bring me just closer to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala.